Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, April 19th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, MISD deals with teacher staff turnover. Budget proposal includes raising starting teacher salary to $58,500. By Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD is trying to avoid growth in teacher turnover. However, when it comes to non-administration resignations and retirements, the district is ahead of the pace set last year. Agenda items from the district shows that from January through April, there have been approximately 92 non-administration staff members offer their resignation, and another 28 their retirement. Last year, the district showed totals of 77 and 27 respectively in January through April. Agenda documents showed that the numbers from January through June in 2021 finished at 180 resignations and 37 retirements, showing that traditionally active months for retirement and resignations are still ahead of Midland ISD leaders. School districts across the state are grappling with the dwindling workforce challenges and the reality that the last 2 years of educating students while dealing with a global pandemic, have placed undue hardship on educators, said Woodrow W. Bailey III, Chief of Human Capital. Our local economy and geographic location present their unique challenges. We closely monitor resignations and retirements weekly and do all we can to retain high-quality talent in Midland ISD. This year, we are trending 30% higher than previous years. Average for the last 4 years. We know that employees resign for various reasons, and out of the 104 resignations received this year, only 5 have been for other educational employment. This indicates our professional educators are not leaving for other districts, but other reasons. 20 of the 104 presented documented health reasons for resignation. The numbers for the last 3 years have been quite pedestrian compared to the school years from 2016 to 2018. The district reported more than 491 resignations and retirements in 2017-18 and 444 in 2018-19. In March through June of 2020, the district showed a 27.8% reduction in resignations / retirements compared to 2018-19. Last year, the district reported the total number moved from 179 to 202. The district is currently recruiting teachers to Midland. A budget proposal includes raising the starting teacher salary to $58,500. The MISD board has previously boasted of the other parts of the compensation package, including the district contributions to health care plans. The district has reported 10 appointments of teachers and staff to elementary schools and 15 to secondary schools from January through April. We know that the landscape for attracting quality talent is very competitive, Bailey said. For the first time, large districts in major metropolitan areas are offering sizable sign-on bonuses. We appreciate our board for prioritizing competitive salaries for Midland teachers and benefits that are more attractive than 98% of the districts in the state of Texas. Traditional recruiting efforts are not as rewarding as in years past, so we redirected our investments in social media recruiting and a more technological online process. These changes have proven to be a better return on investment and raise our prospects to attract teachers from all over the country and outside of the United States. This article is entitled P&Z OK's Plans to Extension. Mockingbird Heights continues push north to Greentree Boulevard. By Mella McEwen. Development in Midland's northwest side is bringing the Mockingbird Heights and Greentree developments closer together. Planning and Zoning Commissioners Monday approved three requests that will ultimately connect the northern end of Mockingbird Heights and Greentree. Two were for lots for single-family housing, and one was for an office center, all carved out of a 331.25-acre tract at the east side of Midland Drive and south of Greentree Boulevard. Newton Engineering received unanimous approval for its request for a zone change from AE, Agricultural Estates District, to SF1 Single Family Dwelling District on a 20.719-acre tract of land out of the 331 acres in order to build a single-family housing subdivision. The subdivision will have 73 residential lots, and the property is in the process of replatting. Commissioners also unanimously approved a proposed preliminary plat of 26.46 acres of the tract that will create 74 residential lots. Finally, commissioners unanimously approved Newton Engineers' request for a zone change from AE, Agricultural Estate District, to O1, Office District, on a 5.720-acre tract in order to build an office center. City staff told commissioners that while the request for the office center is not in compliance with the Tall City Tomorrow plan, it would be advantageous as the city continues to grow northward. It would be part of the commercial corridor developing along Midland Drive and serve as a buffer between the arterial road and the residential communities, generating less traffic than single-family developments, and would provide services to the surrounding communities and future communities in the area. Commissioners also helped Midland Habitat for Humanity move forward with its Benton Street project by approving a zone change from PD, Planned Development District for a Housing Development District, to amended PD on lots 14 to 21, Block 7, and lots 1 to 8 on Block East at the east and west side of South Benton Street and north of Orchard Lane. They also approved, with staff's recommended conditions, a proposed preliminary plat of the lots. A proposed preliminary plat of a 4.570-acre tract at West Sunglow, West County Road 11, and South County Road 1205 into two lots, one 1-acre lot and one 3.57-acre lot, drew opposition from a neighbor. He showed pictures of five semi-trucks he said are constantly parked and running on the property, and even of workers in hazardous material suits on the property, which he said had been recently purchased, although the land is zoned SF1, Single Family Dwelling District. Commissioners were assured city staff is aware of the issue and told the neighbor city council members will have the final say on the request. In other actions, approved a request by Deborah Holt for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a restaurant, for her restaurant Spitz Mediterranean to open in Plaza Oaks, 2101 West Wadley Avenue. When the restaurant opens, it will operate from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday, with alcohol service from 8 a.m. to midnight Monday through Saturday. Approved a request by Mellon Family Investments, LLC, for a zone change from O1 Office District in part and SF2 Single Family Dwelling District in part to O1 Office District on a 1.38-acre tract of land at F Street and Illinois Avenue in order to build a corporate headquarters for Maverick Engineering. Approved a request by Midland Visions 2000 for a zone change from C, Commercial District, to TH, Townhouse Dwelling District, at South Webster Street and Cloverdale Road. This article is entitled, Two Barbers Follow Their Dreams. They opened studio downtown where a lot of things happening in growing area. By J.C. Lewis. Midland men wanting a fresh haircut simply need to follow the barber's poles around wall towers to visit the city's newest barber studio. Co-owners Juan Vasquez and Joseph Morales will be waiting at the downtown barbershop they opened in March, the Apollo Barber Studio. Helping people feel good after just a haircut, Morales said, just boosting their day from 45 minutes in a chair. Vasquez added that he really wanted to do something to give back to the community in a different way. The duo is originally from West Texas. Vasquez attended barber school in El Paso, and Morales was splitting time between Midland and Austin before opening the shop. The downtown was attractive because there are a lot of things happening, and the area is continuing to grow. Vasquez called downtown the heart of Midland. Morales added, it doesn't really feel like Midland in a way. Vasquez first started working in a barbershop as a bootshine boy during his freshman year in high school. He started barbering 2 years ago. My freshman year in high school, 2015, our house burned down, and a good friend of ours, Esau Ramirez, kind of gave me a shot as a bootshine boy, Vasquez says. In my toughest time, our community was there for me. Now, later, I'm being able to go full circle and give back to the community has been great. Morales started barbering 3 years ago. He also knows Ramirez from Buena Suerte Barbershop. It was Ramirez, he said, who took him under his wing after he graduated from barber school to show him the ropes of a barbershop. The name Apollo came from three things tied to the Greek god's name: victory, prophecy, and light. In a way, barbering is more than just a haircut, Vasquez says. Whenever clients come in, we're building relationships with them, and in a way, we are talking about life and prophecy. We are helping each other be more victorious in life with something as simple as a haircut. The barbershop opening has been the talk of the building. We're the new kids on the block, and it's been energizing seeing that excitement about opening a barbershop downtown, Morales said. They are offering haircuts from gentleman style cuts to razor fades, beard sculpting, and facials. They do hot towels on clients' beards and carry an Austin beard line. The shop also has shirts available for sale. We are a new era of barbering, keeping it Texan, Vasquez said. Morales' brother Mark Madrid from Austin helped design the inside of the studio. The studio has complimentary coffee and alcohol bars to add to the experience. Morales and Vasquez each have their own rooms for clients. Each room has TVs, which can be changed to sports or a music genre for clients. Morales' room is desert-themed. Vasquez's room is urban Texas-themed and features a neon sign that says, Alcian. My dad passed away in 2020 of COVID. But something he always told me and my brothers was, everything you do Alcian. Vasquez said, Alcian means at 100%. I wanted to have something in my room which was a daily reminder of that. The studio is open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday at 203 West Wall Street, Suite 107. The Buzz. The next Boss Babe Market will be from noon to 6 p.m. on April 24th at Tall City Brewing Company. Young Professional in Energies will host a crawfish boil for their April social from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. on April 28th at the Tailgate. This article is entitled NWS, Chance of Showers Record High Are Expected This Week by Stuart Doreen. The National Weather Service is showing a chance of showers not once, but twice this week. However, the best opportunity for precipitation is the 40% chance this morning. The NWS added a slight chance of showers for Friday. Not much relief for a community that has reported 0.52 inch of rain since September and is in the midst of the most intense droughts possible, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. In the same forecast, the NWS is calling for high temperatures at or above 90 degrees Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. That includes a projected high temperature of 97 degrees Wednesday. That would be a new record high temperature for April 20th, and a high temperature that is 15 degrees above normal. Conditions have deteriorated so rapidly that Midland's Keach-Byram Drought Index score has increased by around 35 points in less than a month. The county index score Sunday night was 612. The index states that a score between 600 and 800, often associated with more severe drought with increased wildfire occurrence. Intense, deep-burning fires with extreme intensities can be expected. Live fuels can also be expected to burn actively at these levels. This article is entitled, Report, Baseball Bat Assault in Midland, Part of Prostitution Ring. From the Midland Reporter-Telegram. Federal officials indicted 9 members of a nationwide prostitution ring, including one person they believe was involved in the baseball bat assault of a woman working as a prostitute in Midland, according to a report in the New York Daily News. The report states that federal officials indicted 9 members of the ring last week in a wide-ranging racketeering and sex trafficking case in which the defendants are accused of recruiting mostly undocumented immigrant Chinese women to work as prostitutes in hotels across the country. Group members tied up and beat women who its leaders believed were working independently or for other organizations as sex workers, prosecutors said, according to the New York Daily News. The 15 assaults against 15 women in 5 states, according to the report, included a victim in Midland in October 2020. The New York Daily News story, citing federal officials, states the victim lost consciousness after a baseball bat beating by Sayu Chen, 24. The article also referenced a message from another defendant, Bo Jiang, 28, who allegedly wrote, "Beat her to death tomorrow. If she dares fight back, beat her more viciously." One day before the attack on the platform WeChat. The New York Daily News reports the prostitution ring was based in Queens, New York. The charges in the case include racketeering, sex trafficking, robbery, and assaults, according to the report. 7 of the 9 defendants faced life in prison, while 2 others faced 20 years in prison, according to the Daily News article. This article is entitled, DPS, Odessa Motorcyclist Dies in Evening Accident, by Stuart Doreen. An accident involving a motorcycle killed one and sent another to a Lubbock hospital in serious condition, according to Department of Public Safety officials. DPS reported that Joshua Lynn Fornash, 32, of Odessa, was traveling west on a 2005 Kawasaki motorcycle on West 16th, 2 miles west of Odessa, when the driver of a 2007 Ford Fusion traveling east turned in front of the motorcycle, causing the Kawasaki to strike the Fusion. Fornash, who was not wearing a helmet, died at the scene. A passenger on the motorcycle, an Odessa woman, was transported to University Medical Center in Lubbock in serious condition. She also was not wearing a helmet. The accident took place around 8:29 p.m. Friday, according to DPS. This is the obituary column, Tuesday, April 19th. Billy Womack. Billy Char Womack passed away at her home of 51 years on April 13th at the age of 94. She was born on May 2, 1927 in Strawn, Texas, to William Ray Gerhard and Lucille Sloan. Char is survived by her husband Bill of 69 and a half years, son Ray Womack of Valley Glen, California, daughter and son-in-law Lori and Jim Granbury of Gardendale, Texas, daughter-in-law Cindy Bledsoe of Midland, 3 grandchildren, and 4 great-grandchildren. A public visitation for Billy will be held Monday, April 18th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. A funeral service will occur Tuesday, April 19th at 2 p.m. at First Christian Church, 1301 West Louisiana Avenue. A burial will occur Tuesday, April 19th at 3 p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Miriam Jones. Miriam Mim Wise Jones, born March 3, 1944, in Port Arthur, Texas, went to her Heavenly Father April 15th, surrounded by family. Mim is preceded in death by her parents, Mildred and C.F. Wise, her brother Clark. She is survived by her loving husband Bobby, his daughter and her husband Martha and Lupe Natividad, grandson Taylor and wife Autumn, great-grandson Jude Jones, her son Richard and his wife Lisa Taylor, grandchildren Cody and Kylie, her sisters Vicky McKenzie and Sydney Griffin, and her grandchildren and great-grandchildren, along with many nieces and nephews. Celebration of life will be determined at a later date. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Hospice of Midland. Peggy Joyce Mason. Peggy Joyce Mason passed away at home with her family by her side and went to be with her Lord and Savior on April 16th. Peggy was born on June 12, 1937, in Burke Burnett, Texas, to Earl and Jesse Harmon Spanigal. Peggy was preceded in death by her husband of 57 years, J.E. Slim Mason, her parents, as well as her 3 brothers and sister. The immediate family members left to celebrate her life and cherish her legacy include her 4 children, daughter Tana and husband Rick Michaels, Abilene, Texas, son Mike and wife Nancy Mason, Ruidoso, New Mexico, and son John Mark and wife Phyllis Mason of Snyder, and daughter Teresa and her husband Brian Schley from Amarillo. She is also survived by 12 grandchildren and 13 great-grandchildren. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, Tuesday, April 19th. Funeral service will be held Wednesday, April 20th at 2 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home Chapel, with friend and pastor Dr. Jared Wellman officiating. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Harrington Cancer and Health Foundation, Amarillo, Texas, or the Alzheimer's Association. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Walter Landsittle Crandall. Walter Landsittle Crandall passed away on April 14th after a lengthy illness. He was born to Rhea Landsittle and Walter Thomas Crandall on August 10, 1933, in Oklahoma City. He will be greatly missed by his sister Gladys Crandall Hickman and husband Scott of Midland, niece Kathy Norwood and husband Danny of Midland, nephew Walter Hickman and wife Libby of Fort Collins, Colorado, niece Elizabeth Miller and husband Alex of Dallas. He is also survived by great-nieces and nephews. Walter was preceded in death by his parents and sister Patricia Ann Crandall. A funeral service will be held on Wednesday, April 20th at 10 a.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Walt will be laid to rest beside his little sister Patricia in a private burial service at Hillcrest Memorial Park in Dallas. Memorials may be made to Manor Park in Midland or Hospice of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim. I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, April 19th, 2022. Appraised value limitations on agenda. Several public hearings on appraised value limitations are scheduled during the Ector County ISD Board of Trustees meeting today. The meeting is set for 6 p.m. in the first floor boardroom of the Administration Building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. The board will consider and possibly take action on a series of six applications for an appraised value limitation on qualified property under the Texas Economic Development Act. Texas Tax Code, Chapter 313 from 1.5 P1 LLC. The 1.5 P1 project will be for direct air capture facilities that would manufacture industrial-grade carbon dioxide gas, Supplemental Agenda Material said. The board also will consider and take possible action on retaining school finance consultants Colwell Consulting to assist ECISD in processing and evaluating the financial impact of a series of the applications. The board will also consider the same agreement on DG Penwell North LLC, a 200 MWAC solar energy generation project. The facility will be located within a proposed reinvestment zone in South Central Ector County and South Central Ector County Independent School District, the material said. The meeting also will include special presentations. Presentation of United Way of Odessa Awards to ECISD, recognition of the Bronco Spirit and Mojo Spirit Scholarship recipients, recognition of All-State football honorees, recognition of George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa Decathlon State qualifiers, recognition of career and technical education All-State and National qualifiers. Digital awareness aimed at webinars. Ector County ISD's Science Department and CS is Elementary are working to raise awareness about being safe in a digital world through a series of webinars. Creative Computing is Today and Artificial Intelligence is April 26th. It is a way to bring families and their students together to raise awareness as to what it means to be safe in a digital world, but also to give them the opportunity to see what coding and our robotics could be in our district, Science Coordinator Caitlin Couch said. Our district initiative is to create a solid STEM pipeline for our students for pre-K through 12th grade, so we're trying to raise the interest and the awareness in those families, Couch added. Those who attend all four evenings will receive a digital family certificate, and two Dash robots will be given away live at each event. They have two chances each of the four nights, so a total of eight robots will be given away, and then the campus at the end of the four-night span. The elementary campus that has the most participants will win a snow cone party for their campus, Couch said. The webinars are aimed primarily at elementary families because that is the district's largest target area and the awareness isn't there. Couch said it's hoped that they can help families understand what computer science looks like in ECISD and establish a foundation for when students move on to middle and high school. From there, students can get into solid computer science and robotics classes and gain high school credits. We have 140 families participate. We did this last year over a two-night span, and we had to just kind of introduce our families to the digital world. We had about 500 families participate, so we're hoping that we can increase our 140 families and just keep it going because it is really the knowledge of the future, Couch said. The first night, the families were able to create a digital family plan. They were shown what a phishing email looks like, and to be cautious of when on a Zoom call or posting photos on social media because hackers can take details from those and get information from those items. We also did an activity where we tested the strength of our passwords to see how many days it would take for a hacker to crack our passwords, Couch said. She added that the password strengths and weakness surprised people. Some people think their password is good, but they've had the same password since they were 12, and so to look and see that it would only take them a matter of hours to crack your password was crazy. Then we had some that had really good passwords, and it would take them years to crack it. So it was really eye-opening. Something as simple as having a calendar in your picture would give away special things, like if you had a birthday on there, or things, or an anniversary. Those are dates that people generally put in passwords, so that's a way you're giving away information for people out there to hack into your stuff, Couch said. They also did an activity where people were asked if something was a phishing email or not. It was pretty cool to see. Then we also looked at encryption, ways that you can encrypt files so that you can keep them from getting into the wrong hands, she added. She noted that the webinars are on YouTube on the CS is Elementary website, so people can watch them again. The webinars also are offered in English and Spanish. They'll get the exact same information, Couch said. You can constantly go back and refer to those activities and refer to the tips and tricks that our special guest from cyber.org gave us for that night, Couch said. Digital is the direction the world is going in. Everything is on computers. Everything is going to be digital. And so we want our students to be prepared for the future so that we can produce the top-tier student and really put that into the workforce. Couch said, every student in ECISD has a device, and the district is working to provide every family with high-speed broadband internet. We just thought it was our due diligence to help keep our family safe, Couch said. She said families are going to participate in a planking contest to see how long each family member can maintain the plank. They will collect data from everyone that participates and create a physical representation of what that data looks like. With the artificial intelligence webinar, they will look at how data they collected can be used to start predicting what people would like to do and see online. I'm sure everybody has experienced that before, where your Facebook or something says, hey, look at this. I know you that you would like it, or something like that. Then we'll end up with creative computing. So how do we all put the things that we've learned and then now start beginning to sequence them together to actually make digital GIFs and JPEGs and things like that? So it should be fun, Couch said. Over the past 2 years, ECISD has spent about $500,000 on robots. The state wants everyone to be STEM incorporated by 2024. At her office, Couch had an Ozobot and Bebot. The Ozobots look like the typewriter balls in the IBM Selectrix. We do have all kinds of robots in the district, but this is a really fun one that encompasses everything that we learned, she said. They have voice recording capabilities. You can block code on them. We have kids that like to record their voices and then go in and scare their parents. So it is kind of fun. But in all actuality, it's pretty awesome because it's a creative way to get them to start coding, Couch added. Block coding are like puzzle pieces that you put together. Behind the scenes of the little puzzle pieces that you put together are that line code that you would get to in one of our more advanced high school courses, she said. Couch said it was kind of a middle-of-the-road step where students learn sequencing, how to loop, degrees and measurements, and things like that of what the robot can do. Then they just get to line coding using JavaScript, for example, where they type in all the different pieces. Looping is where they can get the robot to do something a certain number of times or more in a certain direction. They'll start foundationally with directional coding with 90-degree directions. Then they'll move into 45-degree directional coding, and then into block coding, and then into script coding, Couch said. She added that this will be a good foundation for Odessa and the Permian Basin to grow its own. We want to be able to constantly replenish that pool of individuals that work in our community, and we think that if they have the best education and the best of all the worlds, digital or non-digital worlds, that they can apply and get those top-tier, high-paying, engineering-type jobs. TxDOT urges drivers to pay attention. Campaign brings awareness, urgency amid 17% increase in traffic deaths involving distracted driving. Austin. A Texas Department of Transportation press release detailed a family's quiet Sunday in the park turned tragic when a driver, distracted while talking on her cell phone, struck a 2-year-old Allie White in a parking lot, killing her. The toddler became one of more than 1,000 Texas lives lost due to distracted driving in the past few years, and it's part of a disturbing trend that continued last year. Distracted driving deaths increased 17% in 2021 compared to 2020, claiming the lives of 431 people and seriously injuring another 2,934. In light of these grim statistics, TxDOT is conducting its annual Talk, Text, Crash campaign during National Distracted Driving Awareness Month in April to urge Texans to keep their heads up, put their phones down, and just drive. Distracted driving crashes are 100% preventable, and we're urging everyone to just drive whenever they're behind the wheel, TxDOT Executive Director Mark Williams stated in the press release. Texans are killed each year simply because someone was distracted by their phone, radio, navigation system, eating or drinking, or even by others in the car. When your focus isn't on driving, you're putting yourself, your passengers, and everyone else on the road at risk. Distracted driving is not only dangerous, it's a crime. Since September 1, 2017, it has been illegal to read, write, or send a text while driving in Texas, and violators can face a fine up to $200. TxDOT offers these tips to prevent distracted driving that can lead to a ticket or preventable crash. Always give driving your full attention. Remember that any distractions is dangerous. Pull off the road entirely and come to a complete stop before you talk on your phone or text. Put your phone away, turn it off, or use an app on your phone setting to block texts and calls while driving. Tell friends, family, and coworkers you won't respond to texts or calls while driving. As part of the National Distracted Driving Awareness Month, TxDOT is conducting Talk, Text, Crash outreach events around the state that feature an immersive TV wall with a touch-free driving simulator to give participants a real-life sense of how distractions affect driving. There will also be tips and facts that'll help remind everyone to give driving their full attention. Events include April 16th in San Antonio, April 18th in Austin, April 21st in El Paso, April 23rd in Houston, April 24th in Arlington, and April 30th in McAllen. Quick hits, COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR tests drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, tests will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. Music Master Series. The Odessa College Music Department has scheduled Music Masters Series featuring Larry Gatlin from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. today at the Jax Rogers Auditorium, OC Campus, 201 West University Boulevard. A limit of 30 students will be taught about creative writing, songwriting, and entering the music industry. To reserve a seat in the class, email music@odessa.edu. Larry Gatlin, the Ector County Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue, will present Larry Gatlin from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. today. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Admission is free. For tickets or for more information, visit theector.com. Shen Yun, the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM, 1788 Midland, will present the all-new 2022 Shen Yun at 7:30 p.m. today. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/2p8nk4yh. Spring Plant Sale. The Ector County ISD Career and Technical Education has scheduled its annual Spring Plant Sale from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Wednesday at the New Greenhouse, 7651 West Dunn Street. For more information, call 432-456-6999 or email christina.butler@ectorcountyisd.org. Wildlife Workshop, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service, 3399 South Stockton Avenue, Monahans, has scheduled a wildlife workshop presented by Game Warden Joseph Hendricks at 5:30 p.m. Wednesday. To sign up or for more information, call 432-643-4112 or email kayleegillespie@ag.tamu.edu. Foreigner, Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland, will present Foreigner Wednesday. Doors open at 7 p.m. For tickets or information, visit tinyurl.com/2p8h5fpb. Badges Clay Shoot. The 9th Annual Bustin' for Badges Clay Shoot fundraiser has been scheduled for Thursday and Friday at Windwalker Farms Sporting Clays, 2551 County Road, C2801 Stanton. Registration and check-in is at 7:30 a.m. for both days. The event will include lunch and prizes. Sponsorships are available. To register, sponsor, or for more information, visit bustinforbadges.org. Spring Craft. The Ector County Library Children's Department has scheduled Spring Craft at 3:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday at the library's activity room in the basement, 321 West 5th. Visit tinyurl.com/5n75xajf. Fundraiser Dinner, an evening benefiting the Life Center with Speaker Jonathan Evans, will take place at 6:30 p.m. Thursday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Sponsorships are available. To sponsor, donate, or for more information, visit tlcdonor.org/Odessa. Taste of the Permian Basin. The Texas Restaurant Association has scheduled Taste of the Permian Basin from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday at the Midland County Horseshoe Pavilion, 2514 Arena Trail, Midland. Sponsor preview party will take place at 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., and general admission will be from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. More than 30 Permian Basin restaurants will feature the best desserts in the area. General admission is $40 in advance or $50 at the door. COVID-19 news. Ector County, 37,461 total cases, 700 deaths. Midland County, 40,552 total cases, 495 deaths. Texas, 6,785,022 total cases, 87,809 deaths. U.S. cases, 80,476,479 total confirmed and 986,123 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Battle of the Bands coming to the Ector Theater. Odessa Arts is teaming up with the Ector Theater and the Texas Music Office and Downtown Odessa Incorporated to host Battle of the Bands on July 2nd during Firecracker Fandango, a press release detailed. As a certified music-friendly city, it's important that we create opportunities for our local musicians, Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm stated in the press release. A battle of the bands will showcase the talent of a wide variety of music styles. Local talent will be able to upload their entry videos through May 15th, the press release stated. The public will then be able to vote on their favorite band. Each vote costs $1, and the funds support Odessa Arts. The top four vote-getters will perform live at the Ector Theater on July 2nd, live in front of a panel of judges that include Mark Fort of the Texas Music Office, Adam Nunley, Executive Director of the Ector Theater, and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee Kathy Valentine of the Go-Go's. Tickets are $5 for adults, under 12 free, available now at theector.com. For complete rules and entry form, visit odessaarts.org/contests. The winner will receive a headlining slot for the closing night of Hot Summer Nights, a music video shoot courtesy of Young Guns Entertainment and graphic design services for logos, printed and digital assets, courtesy of Kathy Swindler Creative, the press release stated. We are so fortunate to have representatives from the Texas Music Office and a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for our judges, making this a fair and professional competition, Hamm stated in the press release. It will also serve as a great professional development opportunity for everyone who enters. Schedule April 18th to May 15th. Enter at odessaarts.org/contests. May 16th to June 15th, online voting at $1 a vote. June 20th, finalists announced. July 2nd, live Battle of the Bands at the Ector during Firecracker Fandango. July 29th, winner performs at the Hot Summer Nights. Odessa woman accused in arson. A 39-year-old Odessa woman was arrested Thursday after failing to appear in court in her pending arson case. According to an Odessa fire rescue report, firefighters were notified about an apartment complex fire around 9 p.m. January 5th, 2021, and when they arrived, they found one unit had been damaged. They also learned the unit had no electricity or gas service. A man told investigators that prior to the fire, his next-door neighbor, Antonia Rosalinda Martinez, had been yelling and acting strangely, according to the report. She said someone was in the apartment bothering her, but the apartment was empty. Several minutes later, the man said another man came to tell him Martinez's apartment was on fire. That man told investigators he'd seen Martinez asking someone for her lighter while outside. A few minutes later, the man said he saw Martinez leave her apartment, and then a few minutes after that, he saw smoke and flames coming from her apartment. Ector County District Court records show Martinez was indicted on February 7, 2022, on a first-degree felony charge of arson, intended damage, habitat, place of worship. She was released on a $20,000 personal reconnaissance bond, but court records show she failed to show up for a March 24th hearing. Her bond is now set at $40,000. Odessan charged in burglary. A 32-year-old Odessa man was arrested on suspicion of burglary after an observant resident told police she'd spotted him in the garage of one of his neighbors and taken pictures of him selling items. An Odessa Police Department report details that a resident of Douglas Drive called 911 shortly after 7 a.m. Thursday to say a man wearing black pants and a gray hoodie had walked into his neighbor's garage and with a wheelbarrow from an alleyway had stolen several items. An officer spotted a man fitting that description when he arrived in the area, and the man, later identified as Christian Escalera Ochoa, ran away, but later was caught, according to the report. Ochoa, who the report said had been convicted of evading arrest four times, admitted to being high on methamphetamine. An air compressor, weed eater, subwoofer speakers, shop vac, and a pair of Nike shoes belonging to the homeowner were found in the open backyard of a home in the 1100 block of East 44th Street, according to the report. Ochoa's shoe print was near the property, the report said. Ochoa was arrested on suspicion of burglary, evading arrest with prior convictions, and public intoxication. Motorcyclist dies in collision, passenger transported to Lubbock. The Texas Department of Public Safety detailed a 32-year-old Odessa motorcyclist died after he was involved in a two-vehicle collision while the passenger was listed in serious condition and transported to Lubbock. The reported fatal collision happened at 8:29 p.m. April 15th on West 16th Street, also known as Farm to Market Road 3472, about 2 miles west of Odessa, the DPS press release stated. Troopers say Olivas Elia Hernandez, 50, of Odessa, was driving a 2007 Ford Fusion. With passenger 54-year-old Odessan Jose Luis Vasquez, Joshua Lynn Fornash, 32, of Odessa, was driving a 2005 Kawasaki motorcycle with passenger 22-year-old Odessan Monica Renee Chavez. The preliminary information showed the Fusion was traveling west on West 16th Street in the turning lane. The press release stated, the motorcycle was traveling east on West 16th in the right lane. The Fusion made a left turn into a parking lot in front of the motorcycle, causing the motorcycle to collide with the Fusion. Troopers say Fornash was pronounced dead at the scene by the Ector County Medical Examiner, while Chavez was listed in serious condition and transported to University Medical Center in Lubbock. Hernandez wasn't injured, and Vasquez was treated and released, the press release stated. Odessa woman accused in arson. A 39-year-old Odessa woman was arrested Thursday after failing to appear in court in her pending arson case. According to an Odessa fire rescue report, firefighters were notified about an apartment complex fire around 9 p.m. January 5th, 2021, and when they arrived, they found one unit had been damaged. They also learned the unit had no electricity or gas service. A man told investigators that prior to the fire, his next-door neighbor, Antonia Rosalinda Martinez, had been yelling and acting strangely, according to the report. She said someone was in the apartment bothering her, but the apartment was empty. Several minutes later, the man said another man came to tell him Martinez's apartment was on fire. That man told investigators he'd seen Martinez asking someone for her lighter while outside. A few minutes later, the man said he saw Martinez leave her apartment, and then a few minutes after that, he saw smoke and flames coming from her apartment. Ector County District Court records show Martinez was indicted on February 7, 2022, on a first-degree felony charge of arson, intended damage, habitat, place of worship. She was released on a $20,000 personal reconnaissance bond, but court records show she failed to show up for a March 24th hearing. Her bond is now set at $40,000. Two arrested leaving game room. An Odessa couple seen acting suspiciously while leaving a local game room wound up being arrested on drug and weapons charges Friday morning. According to an Odessa Police Department report, three officers on patrol in the 2900 block of East Highway 80 saw the driver of a Jeep abruptly stop while backing out of a parking space at a game room, but then leave after a couple of the officers left. The Jeep's registration expired in May 2021, and there was no insurance on the vehicle, according to the report. The remaining officer wrote in his report he saw the driver of the Jeep, later identified as Jamie Wayne Renfro, almost hit another vehicle as he left the game room parking lot, so he pulled him over. The report stated Renfro, 39, didn't have any identification on him nor any proof of insurance. While searching the vehicle, officers found a sawed-off 12-gauge shotgun that had had its identification number removed. They also discovered prescription drugs in the Jeep, but neither Renfro nor his passenger, Krista Nicole House, 37, had prescriptions for them, the report said. Renfro, who the report indicated is a felon and documented gang member, was arrested on suspicion of being in unlawful possession of a firearm, possession of a prohibited weapon, tampering with an identification number, possession of marijuana, and 3 counts of possession of a dangerous drug in addition to operating a vehicle without financial responsibility. House was arrested on suspicion of possession of a prohibited weapon, tampering with an identification number, possession of marijuana, and 3 counts of possession of dangerous drugs. Odessan accused of assaulting cop. An Odessa man was arrested Sunday after authorities said he drove into a building, left the scene, and then attacked an officer while he tried to arrest him. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a man drove into the Western Union in the 2500 block of North Dixie Boulevard around 4 p.m. Sunday and was seen walking west in the 900 block of Nimitz. When an OPD corporal tried to speak with the man identified as Christian Lindsay, Lindsay charged him. When the corporal tried to arrest him, Lindsay punched him in the face multiple times and tried to get his gun, the report stated. Lindsay was arrested on suspicion of resisting arrest, assault on a peace officer, attempting to take a weapon and leaving the scene of an accident. He remains in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $64,000. Ella Noel Art Museum hosts Pulling for the Arts. A press release from the Ellen Noel Art Museum of the Permian Basin detailed it will host Pulling for the Arts on May 6th at the Midlands Shooters Association, located at 7400 West County Road 170 in Midland. The public is invited to show off their marksmanship and enjoy a complimentary breakfast and lunch, followed by a firearm raffle, the press release stated. As a nonprofit organization, ENAM relies on fundraisers like Pulling for the Arts to help supplement the funding it receives through donations, memberships, and grants. All profit from this event help the museum to sustain important programs like Art to Go for second graders who do not have art in school, free community art days with activities for all ages, and Fine Arts Connection third grade field trips. It also allows the museum to help in important exhibitions like Dramatic Moments by Frederick Remington, which will be on display May 5th to August 28th, and give the public access to these exhibitions at no cost. Profits from Pulling for the Arts also help the museum to expand, develop, and diversify its program to better meet the needs of its growing community. The public is invited to help support the museum by purchasing their ticket for Pulling for the Arts. Individual shooter tickets are $200 in advance. Sponsorship opportunities will also be available. Doors open at 8:15 a.m. For more information or to purchase your ticket, call 432-550-9696 extension 210 or visit www.noelartmuseum.org/pulling-for-the-arts.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.